In this political season, we have heard all kinds of politicians present all kinds of plans to help America through its desperate economic woes. We have heard plans from some politicians calling us to raise taxes. Others are saying we need to install a flat tax, and another is saying it's all about 999. When I think about all of the plans that I've heard about and I've been keeping up with in all of this political climate, I'm reminded that only the Lord knows who will occupy the White House within the next year. Only the Lord knows who will be raised up to lead this nation through this very difficult, treacherous time. But I'm also reminded of how important it is for us to understand God's plan. You see, I am convinced that there is a plan from God that is greater than any plan that any man, any woman, any group of congressional leaders could ever come up with. I am calling it God's 6.5 plan. I believe God has a plan, and it's called 6.5. What is it? That's what we're going to talk about. Today, we're going to talk about God's 6.5 plan. What is it? And then, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to go down deeper on this plan called God's 6.5 plan. We read about it in the Holy Scripture over in the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, a powerful text. And from the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, we read these words beginning in verse number 4. And if you would you listen carefully and attentively to the reading of the Scripture? The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." You understand that these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the ways, and when you lie down, and when you rise." The Bible says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." The Scripture says, "You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." This series will focus over the next 3 weeks, perhaps longer, on one singular verse. Chapter 6, verse number 5. This is God's 6.5 plan for your life and for my life. When we understand the context, we can better understand the text. So today, I want to begin by helping us to understand the context of what we are reading. Now, sandwiched between what I would call a theological confession and how to live it out is this verse, chapter 6, verse number 5. In fact, chapter 6, verse number 5 is even a part of that theological confession that is partnered with verse number 4. In verse 4 and verse number 5, this theological confession is what we would call the Jewish confession of faith. In fact, it is the word Shema. If you hear a theologian or a teacher ever say something about the Shema, they are talking about Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and verse 5. That word hear, it says hear, hear. What does he want us to hear? That word hear is a word that is deeper than what we normally understand. It is a word that means to hear with the intent to obey. To hear with the intent to obey. Sometimes when you're trying to get your child's attention, you're not simply talking to them for talking's sake. You're trying to get them to hear you, to get them to obey you. The greatest parent of all is the Father. And that's exactly what the Father is doing for you and the Father is doing for me. In fact, he said that obedience would follow, which means that we will not only hear it, but we will obey it. Therefore, we can summarize, to obey God is to love God, and to love God is to obey God. And notice part of this theological confession, the Lord, listen to this, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is a statement that indicates the uniqueness of God, the distinctiveness of God. And even though Moses knew that the people would run after all kinds of gods, he tried to get them to understand that according to the word, there is one God. He is the Lord our God, the Lord your God, and the Lord is one. Remember last week in chapter 6 of Isaiah, when we talked about the seraphim calling out to one another, they called out, holy, holy, holy. That word means to be distinct. It means to be unique. And the phrase I gave you to begin to think about in your life is, there is no one like you. And that's what we need to do. That's what praise is. Praise is being able to say, Lord, there is no one like you. Then he gives to us in chapter 5, this second part of this theological treatise that I'm going to really break down here in just a moment. And then we see in verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9, the ways to live out Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Now, you're not going to see this on the screen, but I want you to think about these three R's that are a part of verse 7, verse 8, verse 9. I want to lift up principles, not the reality of how he said do it, but the principles are greater than the how. Notice what he talks about. He talks about repetition. One of the ways we learn is repetition. He says, from the time your child gets up in the morning to the time your child lives the day, by the time your child goes to bed at night, we are teaching them the truth and the reality of chapter 6, verse number 5, that you're to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might. The power of repetition. Sometimes as a teacher or a preacher, as a Christian, we don't think we need to repeat ourselves because we said it once. But listen, we have all kind of competing noises and voices around us, and we have to say it again and again and again. And one of the most powerful ways of learning is the learning through repetition. So we lift up the principle of how to live it out through repetition, continuously. And then another way we live it out is a reminder. That next verse talks about the reminder of the law of God. He talks about having something around your wrist. The Jewish people would wear something around their wrist, and then they would wear a little box that would be tied all the way around their forehead and across the back of their head. And containing in that box or contained in that box is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Every time they felt that, they were reminded. Are you listening? They were reminded that this is the way I want you to live. You are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. So he talked about the power of repetition. He talked about the power of this whole element of understanding that reminding ourselves in the box. And then he talks about the importance of record. Record. He uses the word here in verse number 9 that is an important word. He says, you shall write them. That word there is the word masusa in the Hebrew language. If you were to go to Israel with me, and I hope you will one day, you will be able to go to a various store here or there. They will say, do you have a masusa? And you will want to buy a masusa because you will learn about what a masusa is. A masusa is something that is hung on the doorpost of your home. It can also be hung, even the Jewish people would hang it on the various rooms that would enter the rooms on the doorpost. That word masusa was a word that meant that you would take an object, this masusa, and inside of the masusa, which was a container, a small container, almost like a cylinder, and you would write down the verse, and you'd put the verse in the cylinder, and every time you walked by the masusa, you would remind yourself. You would have as a record in your everywhere you went. Remember, every room, every doorpost, everywhere you went to live out, chapter 6, verse number 5, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Without any question at all, you know that if you really get your arms around this, Holy Scripture is powerful, and all of Holy Scripture literally hinges on the verse of chapter 6, verse number 5. In fact, you can tell how important chapter 6, verse 5 is when you look at how even the gospel and the New Testament hinges upon it. One day Jesus was asked by some of the people, what is the first and the greatest commandment? What did he quote? He quoted in Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38, these words, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your mind. This is the what? First, and what else? Say that word. Greatest commandment. That's what he said. You know where that comes from? That comes from chapter 6 of the book of Deuteronomy, verse number 5. Listen to it. You shall, personal, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This verse is central to the entire Bible. It is central to the Christian life. It is what the Christian life is all about. Augustine, one of the fathers of the faith, put it this way. He said, love God, then do as you please. You know what Augustine understood? Augustine understood if I can live out and if I can live the truth of chapter 6, verse 5 of Deuteronomy, the first and the greatest commandment of all, if I can do that, then I can really go out here and I can live as I please, because whatever I please, God's going to so alter my life, he's going to alter my choices, alter my being, that I can do that. So the real question, I guess, that all of us have to ask ourselves is, am I loving God right now with all that I am? I mean, that is the power of the passage. So when we get to chapter 6, verse 5, we have to ask ourselves, then what is it? Hey, listen, I was not a biology expert. I remember having to go to a laboratory. I'm going to tell you, I didn't like it then, and I probably wouldn't like it anymore today. I would appreciate it more, but I still wouldn't probably not get a great grade at it. But what I want to do today is that I want to take you to a laboratory. The laboratory is understanding chapter 6, verse 5. I want to dissect it. I want to take it apart. I want to help it walk in your life and walk in my life. Are you ready to learn? Let's learn from the Word of God. All right? Here we are. Listen to it. You shall love. You know what that phrase means? It means commit yourself to. That's what the word is. Commit yourself to. If you're taking notes, you ought to write that down. You shall love means commit yourself to. It does not mean some emotion or some feeling that we have. What it means is to actively commit yourself to love God. Now listen to this. It also indicates that we are to do so unreservedly and wholeheartedly in commitment. So unreservedly, I commit myself to love Him. Wholeheartedly, I commit myself to who He is and to what He's about in life. And notice what he says. What do we love? The Lord our God. Who is the object of this kind of commitment? The Lord our God. That's an important phrase. It's a personalized phrase. Is He the Lord your God? You see, the object of your love should not be other matters, other things, other people. He didn't tell you to love your family that way. He didn't tell you to love money that way, didn't tell you to love your job that way, your career that way, your stuff that way, didn't tell you to love a game that way, didn't tell you to love a sport that way. What did he tell you should be the object of your love? What should he tell you? He told you to let the Lord your God receive that kind of active commitment from your life. The Lord your God, nothing else. And how does he say to do it? With all your heart. Boy, this is powerful. The Hebrew word here means that the heart is a person's intellect or a person's rationality. When you are to love God with all of your heart, he is talking about your intellect. He is talking about your rationality. It means to obey him with full understanding. How? Intellectually. The call is what? We're going to talk about this deeper in a minute, but the call is to do it purposefully, and the call is to do it intentionally. You see, what we have today in the church, and this is a real indictment on the church, intellectual laziness and intellectual illiteracy dominates the church. Why is that? Why do we play down intellect? To make us feel better about ourselves? Because some preacher used to spit and slobber and holler about how you need to send your mind to the moon? Huh? No. We need to understand intellectual astuteness to the Word of God is critical to following the Lord. We do not need to minimize our commitment intellectually. We need to maximize it. Because to the degree that we do that will be to the degree that we can love the Lord. I'm telling you, it's sad when we think about the intellectual illiteracy about God's Word that dominates so much of the church today. People don't know this, they don't know that, they don't know the basics. Or this whole element of the other side of the spectrum, this intellectual arrogance, which is worse. It's when you think you have something in reality you don't have. Because basically what that means is you compare yourself to everybody else, and that's worse than everybody. And you don't need to be insecure. You don't need to be putting someone else down in the process of lifting yourself up. And then the Bible says we do it not only with our heart, but we do it with all your soul. This Hebrew word soul is a word for breath or life. The word is also synonymous with the word being, B-E-I-N-G, meaning to love God with all of your entire being. Let me ask you today, are you a soul or do you have a soul? Which one? I'm not sure we all know the answer to that, but let's just act like we do. And I'm going to tell you today, you are a soul. Because you have a mind, you have a will, and you have an emotion. And you, with your mind, with your will, and with your emotion means no, it's not part of you, it's all of you. God does not share you. God doesn't want to share you. He doesn't receive partial love. He doesn't receive partial gifts. He does not receive impairment in giving any more than impairment in loving. He receives only that which is our best, which includes our entire being. Then he says also, with all your might. Oh boy, I tell you what. You talk about one of these areas that we need to get a hold of, it's this one. With all your might. That Hebrew word there means that we should love him with all of our energy. Energy. With all of our activity. With all productivity. It also means to love him forcefully. Wow. Is your love for God forceful? It means to love him powerfully. Powerfully. How powerful is your love for the Lord? I like this terminology. That means that we're to love him vigorously. Wow, how vigorous are you in your love for God? And to love him abundantly. You know what God is calling us to do? From the deepest essence of who you are, with the fullest expression that God has given you in your life and with your body. Not in a passive way, not in a half-hearted way, but with all you are, loving him. With energy and life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 demands our love. It demands our obedience unreservedly and wholeheartedly. It calls us to love God with all we are, with all we have, with all we'll ever be. I mean, it calls us to a height that is impossible to imagine and greater than we can even imagine. So today, all of that for this one word, therefore. All of that, therefore. Therefore what? I'm going to lead you today to do what I'm calling to actively commit yourself to love God continually with. We're going to stop right there and we're going to evaluate that phrase. I thought when I gave this to Anita, my assistant, who is really good linguistically, she would send it back to me and say, we can't say it that way. But she didn't. I was really relieved because I didn't want to debate with her, and I sure didn't want to, you know, go into an English war with her because she'd win that war. But I know exactly this is what the text means. It calls me to actively commit myself to do what? To love God. How? Continually. Continually. Actively commit myself. That's what love is. Actively commit myself. To do what? To love God, the object of my love. How do I do it? Continually. How do you get the continually? Repetition. Reminder. Record. Remember? 7, 8, 9. And that's how God wants us to love Him. That's how He wants us to express ourselves to Him. So therefore, how should we do this? Boy, I can't wait. I mean, this is a great challenge for me. It's a great challenge for you, I hope. How do we do that? Three ways. I'm going to be real specific, and I want to challenge you in this morning. Actively commit yourself to love God continually with intellectual purpose. Intellectual purpose. In other words, you purpose yourself to love God intellectually. That's right. You're going to purpose yourself to no longer be lazy intellectually in your walk with God and in your knowledge of God's Word. You're not going to exist to be arrogant that you know more than someone else. But what does the Scripture really teach us? It teaches us in reality, you've heard someone say this, but this is why they say it, because of what that word means here. You only really believe the part of the Bible you live. That's what the Hebrew would tell you. You only believe that which you live. You hear to obey. So we determine that we're going to actively commit ourselves to loving the Lord our God continually. How? Continually. Repetitiously, through reminders, as well as this whole thought of a record that constantly again reminds us. We're going to do it with intellectual purpose. Now, what do I mean by that? You see, God has given us a plan. It's called the Bible. We have a book called the Bible. Someone asked me how many books I've read this year. I will tell them I've read at least 64. But a month from now, I'll have 66 read. And I read others beyond that. But I'm going to tell you, this is more important and better than any novel you're ever going to read. It's better than any business book you're ever going to read. It's better than any Christian book you're ever going to read. This book is what we have to intellectually commit ourselves to understanding intellectually. I mean, listen, we can no longer accept, well, I'm just not real good in the Bible. Come on, folks. What he's saying here in the text is, we can only grow in the full understanding of following God when we understand what the Word of God says. The Word is the key. The Word is the secret. The Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And I'm going to put it in my heart, and I'm going to hide it there so that I will not sin against God. Remember that? I learned that in Vacation Bible School. Learned it in sunbeams. Amen. Can I get a sunbeam? A.M. Amen. Whatever. A.M. Amen. If you don't want to say amen, say A.M. You know, that's why we need to be under the Word of God every week. I mean, really, that's why we need to be under the Word every week. Sometime in our day, we minimize worship. We make worship all about the singing. No, it's not. It's about the Word of God, the Word of God. The purpose of the worship songs is to get our hearts ready for that moment when we open up the book, when in the Old Testament they all stood in honor of the book. As the book was taught and the book was read, it was the book that got the emphasis. I want to challenge you today to maximize the Word of God and stop minimizing your intellectual commitment to understand what it means. I ask you today, are you in one of our small groups? Every one of our campuses have many options for small groups. Are you in one of our small groups? You know why we have small groups? We have small groups to teach you the Bible, to help you to walk with people you enjoy being with, hopefully, and you learn together the Word of God. That's what those small groups exist for. And every one of us need to be so committed intellectually to understanding the Word of God. We worship on the Lord on the first day of the week. We get in a small group that will encourage us and ignite us and help us to be more what we need to be. And I ask you, even beyond those small groups that meet during the week or on Sunday morning on this campus, I ask you today, when is the last time you've been a part of another small group where another study where you learn the Bible even further? Maybe a women's Bible study, a men's Bible study, maybe a couple's Bible study. Something that will help you teach and understand the Word of God. We must understand and maximize the importance of intellectually purposing myself that I am going to learn the Word of God. Now, here is the reason for that. Because you can only live out what you understand. And if you're going to understand it, you got to read it. And you got to be under the leadership of people who can help you understand it. It's that simple. I mean, we have people all over this church committed to the intellectual understanding of college football scores from yesterday. Some of you can tell exactly what your stock prices were of various things that you own, and you checked on it Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, and you got it logged right here. Why do you do that? Why do you intellectually purpose yourself to do that? Many of you are intellectually purposing yourself in all kinds of ways, and all that's good. I'm not condemning that. I'm just going to tell you, higher than all that ought to be your intellectual, purposeful commitment to the Holy Scripture of God in your life. That's what he says. Actively commit yourself to love God with all your heart, with intellectual purpose, and with all your soul, therefore, your entire being. That's number two. You love him with your entire being, with all of your soul. Means that you continually and you actively obey the Lord. And it's with all that you are. I used this illustration several years ago. I used to collect these little Civil War figurines. I stopped collecting them. They got too expensive, and you know, you can only collect so many of those, and it still has meaning in your life. And I figured I had a basket full. What else do I need? But one of my favorite of all is probably my favorite of all was a figurine of a soldier who was coming home from the Civil War. He was on a horse. He was traveling and traveling and traveling after all of the horrendous stuff he went through in the war, and finally, he got home. And as he arrived at his home, he was slumped over his horse, completely exhausted, with nothing left to give. And you know what the figurine is called? Nothing Left. That's exactly the way God wants us to love him. Where we have so exhausted ourselves in loving him, there's nothing left to give. With all of our soul, with all of our entire being, with everything we've ever been, everything we are, everything that we're ever going to be. It's loving him in that way. How powerful is that? That's the way we need to love the Lord. You see, it needs to be like, it's hard for people to tell when Jesus begins and when Jesus ends in me. It's such oneness that exists with Christ and us that it's hard to tell the difference because we're there. I mean, this entire being needs to consume us. So what does Jesus say? Jesus is telling us in his word, Moses recorded it, Jesus quoted it, actively commit yourself to love God continually with intellectual purpose, with your entire being. And then the third thing he tells us is that we are to do it with what? Listen to it. With dynamic energy. Dynamic energy. Well, I tell you what, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Are you loving God with dynamic energy? With all your might. Wow. With all your might. You know what that means? This compelling, this dynamic energy is that means that you love God with a compelling, contagious, powerful, dynamic energy where you are wholeheartedly loving the Lord. This means that we should be loving the Lord in the deepest of our essence, in the deepest of our being, and expressing it fully through who we are in personality, through we are or who we are with our giftedness, who we are with our expression. Hey, let's go a little deeper for a moment. Many of you got up and had a quiet time before you came to church today. Did you have that quiet time with dynamic energy? Or here I go again. I'm going to do this because I love God. Crack the whip. I wonder, did you look forward to today with dynamic energy? Boy, I can't wait to get into the Word of God. I can't wait to explode with the worship of singing and the worship of the Word and the worship given to God. I mean, I've got this dynamic energy. All the week long, I've just been so fired up about being under the Word. Can you get an amen on that from anybody, huh? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, a moment ago, when you were singing, did you express singing with dynamic energy? I mean, man, where you were giving it your all. I mean, all that you had from the deepest well of your being, it was coming through, coming through, coming through, and I mean, exploding through you. That's what he's saying. With that kind of dynamic energy. What about a moment ago when the offering plate passed? I mean, are you out there saying, man, I can't wait till it comes my way. Baby, I'm ready to deliver the good today. I cannot wait. Oh, well, there he goes again talking about that. I wish he'd talk something about something else. I do. You just need to learn to listen to that more than you listen to that you don't like. Oh, me. What about serving the Lord? I mean, this afternoon, hundreds of you are going to have an opportunity to serve the Lord. Many of you served the Lord through leading in a small group today already, or you served our children, our preschool. I mean, did you serve the Lord in the choir? Did you serve the Lord with demonstrating this dynamic energy? Well, you know, I'm going to do it because, boy, that kid's going to fold if I don't do it. Is that it? Well, I tell you what, man, this stuff should get all over us. God wants to make us extremely uncomfortable in chapter 6, verse 5. He calls us to do something we cannot do, will not do apart from him. Without a work of God in our heart, there's not a chance it'll ever happen. But today, here is what I want to ask you, a very convicting question. And I want you to listen carefully. It's not going to be on the screen, but I want you to hear it. It convicts me. I hope it will convict you. Why does a Razorback gang, or your job, or your family, or your hobby, or your favorite sport, or money call you more to expressing dynamic and contagious energy than the energy you have expressed toward loving God? Why? Why? Some of us are so exhausted by the time we get to Sunday morning because we have so expressed ourselves in every other way. We're like that soldier. There's not a whole lot left. Sad, sad, sad. I want you to understand, I love the Razorbacks. I'm fired up, baby. I tell you what, if we're not number three in the BCS this afternoon, they need to blow it up. Thank God for Oregon. Thank God for Oklahoma State. Thank God for Oklahoma. They all have one thing in common, and I won't go there. But I'm fired up. I don't know how I'm going to make it till Friday afternoon at 1:30 or whenever it is, kickoff on probably CBS. And I mean, how are we going to do that? I mean, this is the biggest game in our generation the Razorbacks have ever played. And some of you say, who cares? But most of you say, I got it, man, I got it. I'll tell you, it's big time, baby. It's big time. And I'm going to be ready. I'm going to learn what I can this week. I'm going to be intellectually astute at who plays who, where it is, how it is. I mean, I'm committed to it. And I do it. And I will. And I'll enjoy every minute of it. Yes, sir. And all those LSU folks down there, we hope we're going to serve you some jambalaya that's going to jumble you up. That's right. Because we want to jambalaya that whole BCS thing up. Go there, beat them, go to Georgia, beat them, and then get to play the national championship game. You say, boy, you're dreaming. Oh, no, baby, we're there. We're there. Can I get an amen? We're there. See, I'm pretty passionate about that. Wouldn't you agree? I don't like losing. Don't like losing anything. I mean, anybody like to lose? You know, it doesn't bother me to lose. Well, you need to pray about that. Bothers me to lose. Doesn't matter what it is. I don't like to lose. I'm just being honest. So the rest of you are just lying. Going to super spiritual me and be a little arrogant. Oh, well, that's the way you are. Yeah, well, I know the way you are too, buddy. You know, how passionate are you about your job? You fired up about your job? I love my job. I don't always like it every day because some of you wear me out some days. But overall, I love my job. I love it. I tell you what, I love my family. I love my family. I love my wife of 35 years this December 31. We were married to the First Baptist Church of Rotan, Texas on a very cold night, about 7 o'clock p.m. Spent our honeymoon in Sweetwater, Texas, the first night at the Holiday Inn. I probably, if that thing exists, I'd probably drive right on by it today. But that night, it didn't matter. I didn't know any better. You see, I'm excited. I don't really have a hobby. I guess football is my hobby. It's my favorite sport. But, I mean, I like it. And I like money. Who doesn't like money? Oh, well, you don't like money? Oh, well, come on now. You all like money. Now, I want to tell you about money and me. I can give money away. Money's no big deal for me to give away. If I told you what I gave away, some of you wouldn't believe me, so I'm not even going to tell you. But I promise you, giving is big in our lives. Generosity exist, and I'll give away anything I got except her and my kids and their spouses and my grandkids. And there may be some of those nights with the grandkids, I might negotiate that deal, but I promise you I'm committed to it. Amen. You see, the whole point is we have to have dynamic energy. Boy, wouldn't it be awesome to come on Sunday morning and I mean we had dynamic energy. Some of you, well, you know, when you sing, when you listen to the word, you just, come on, come on, come on. I don't like that song. I don't like that style of music. Get over it. Get a CD when you go home today. You need to hear last week. I mean, it's ridiculous. We make the little things so big, and reality is about none of it. It's all about God. He's worthy of praise, and with all that we are, with all that we have, He deserves our praise. Therefore, before we leave today, I'm going to leave you two steps of action I'm going to ask you to take. Based off all that we've learned today, I want us to begin practicing what we just preached. I cannot stand preaching a message and I look like, I mean, and people look like, I don't get it, I don't care to get it. I can deal with the I don't get it, I just don't like the I don't care to get it. I want to check that at the door. I mean, this is Christianity 101 I'm talking, folks. It's not hard, it's not deep. If it was impossible, Jesus wouldn't have brought it up for you to do. So what are we asking? This is what I'm asking you. Here it is, number one, step of action, based off what we've learned today. By Sunday, December 30, or 3, not December 33, but December 3rd, by Sunday, December 3, memorize Deuteronomy 6:5. Oh, I can't memorize a verse of Scripture. Oh, my goodness, I can't. I mean, most of you can tell me the stats that the quarterback of the University of Arkansas had yesterday. You can tell me your stock price from Friday. You can tell me this that your family need to take care of this weekend before you go to work tomorrow. Some of you ladies know the recipe of something you're going to cook that you're hoping everybody's going to like. I mean, you can do that. Well, what about Deuteronomy 6, verse 5? Since it's our walking papers, can we not memorize one verse in the Bible? I mean, let's read it together right now on the screen. Say it out loud. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your might. That means you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with intellectual purpose, with all your soul, your entire being, and with all of your might, with dynamic energy. Dynamic energy. Everybody say those words, dynamic energy. Dynamic energy. Say it again. Dynamic energy. Some of you need to get over it. Say it again. Dynamic energy. Thank you. Finally got loud enough to get an echo in here. Second step of action. In 2012, that's coming up, read the Bible through completely. Read the Bible through completely. Why should I do that? Well, because you need to intellectually get yourself wrapped around the Word of God. You say, what am I going to do when I get to Exodus and I kind of start getting lost? When I get to Leviticus, man, I'm calling you, Pastor. I'm going to tell you right now, don't call me, call God. I don't understand it either. And there are sections of the Scripture I don't understand. I mean, my book I'm reading right now, chapter 60 or number 65, is the book of Job. Job reminds me of a lot of things. But I tell you what, I'm reading about his friends and how they told him, man, you don't need to love God. You need to forget God, bro. You need to get your life cleaned up. You need to clean your life up and God will stop punishing you. That's the way they saw it. And then Job's wife looked at him and said, dude, you need to curse God and die. You look horrible. I'm waiting for that section in there of a proof text I'll give you guys when he tells that woman, woman, hush. But I hadn't found it yet. But he didn't do what she wanted him to do. Thank God. The whole point is that there's so much applicable to our lives. Yes, we will wade through sections we may not understand, but I'm telling you, it's worth it all when we begin to comprehend and all of a sudden the Logos, the written word, becomes the Rhema, the spiritual word that God breathes alive in our hearts, and all of a sudden we'll start thinking about it. We'll write about it. Honey, I'll show you this. Look at this. Man, look what I saw today. Boy, it's going to change lives, including your life. That's worth it all. You say, I don't know if I can do that. Listen to me, every one of you teenagers, you need to do it. I challenge you to do it. Josh and Chuck, don't put up with it. Encourage them to do it. Parents, you do it. Those of you that are older in your years, you do it. Single adults, you do it. You say, well, I don't know if I can. I don't have that kind of time. You don't have that kind of time? Come on now. How much time you spend on Facebook? How much time you Twitter? How much time do you watch TV? Do you realize today that if you take 20 minutes a day for 365 days in a row, you can read the entire Bible through? That's right. What does this text teach us? Actively commit yourself to love God continually with what? Intellectual purpose, your entire being, and with dynamic energy. Why in the world do you think I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning 5 days a week? Why? Well, you say you're an idiot. Well, that's one reason why. But I'll tell you another. I got to hear God. I got to be with God. I got to hear the Lord because I get all kind of voices in my mind. I hear from staff members. I hear from people. I hear from my family. I hear from churchmen. I need to hear God's voice. And the only one up at that time is God. It's highly refreshing. You can do this, folks. I challenge you this morning to come to the altar today and tell God, I'm going to begin to discipline myself to tell you, Lord, I love you by obeying you. Come to the altar today and make a commitment, maybe both of these commitments. Lord, I'm going to do it. Come to the altar today repenting of loving something else or someone else more than you love God supremely with your whole heart and with all of your being. Tell God what Julio sang a moment ago, of which I want us to sing as the invitation today. Lord, let it start with me. You don't like where things are around you? Let it start with you. Let Deuteronomy 6:5 permeate your life. Light you up, energize you, become the dynamic energy that motivates you. I'm telling you, folks, that's what it's about. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to take this so much more, and we're going to walk this thing. I'm tired of preaching where people don't respond. I'm tired of delivering the goods and people don't act like they get it or they don't care. Man, if we can't do Deuteronomy 6:5 as a church, we need to close the doors, sell the building, and give it away. And I mean it. Amen. We need to do business with God personally. In a moment when we offer this public invitation as well, there'll be a pastor at the end of each aisle. If you have never made a faith commitment to Jesus Christ, I encourage you to walk this aisle. Tell that pastor today, I want to make a commitment to Jesus Christ in my life. Many of you need to do that. Others of you need to join Cross Church here at Pinnacle Hills. You believe God is calling you to this ministry. Others of you, God may be calling you to the ministry of preaching or the ministry of ministering to students or maybe as a missionary, whatever it may be. You respond to God and you come to one of our pastors today. Oh, listen. We can do this. There are a lot of things we can't do, but I'm going to tell you something. We can do this. Yes, we can. As for me, I'm all in. It'd be great to have you there too. Because we'll do it better together than we could ever do it individually. And that's what the church is all about.